Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Pete Hegseth, the United States Secretary of Peace, for his ridiculous and abusive efforts to use the military to bully, intimidate, and discriminate against people who just want to serve in the military on their terms instead of his. Before I elaborate, a word about words. As you all know, President Absolutely No Way Will We Say His Name recently returned the Department of Defense to its original pre-World War II name, the Department of War. That means Hegseth is officially the Secretary of War, and of course we fully believe in the right of a government agency to identify as anything it wants to identify as. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of dead naming the Pentagon as the Department of Defense anymore, or by using the wrong military-industrial pronouns for the department. However, having long been trained on all the wise and sacred writings of St. George Orwell, we believe that the proper name of this entity, as instructed by the novel 1984, a book which poignantly and perfectly envisions a true future governed by the holy principles of doublethink, doublespeak, and the practice of making unacceptable terminology double plus ungood, should in fact be the Department of Peace. Since the aim of the Department of Peace, or DOP, is to prevent war, not start it, why shouldn't it be named for the thing it's trying to achieve rather than for the thing it's trying to avoid? We did briefly consider perhaps calling it the Department of Deterrence or the Department of Equality or the Department of Helping People and Fixing Things, but none of these quite encapsulated the contradictions and aspirations so essential to this organization. And in an effort to encourage that man who currently lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to adopt an even wokier rebrand, we will simply refer to Hegseth as the Secretary of Peace. That being said, the reasons for his cancellation are abundantly clear. In the last few days, Secpeth Hegseth has reversed decades of work making the DOP an agency of inclusion, equity, and diversity, truly the vanguard of every form of social engineering we believe in. First, he says that the only thing that matters is standards, by which he means merit, that most blasphemous of words.
We must restore a ruthless, dispassionate, and common-sense application of standards.
This is pure heresy. Enough alone to justify cancellation. Second, he said that people's feelings are no longer to be considered.
The era of politically correct, overly sensitive, don't hurt anyone's feelings leadership ends right now.
But how can any government entity deny the only thing that matters in this world, the hurts, the wounds, and the offenses taken by the feelings of the snowflakiest of snowflakes? Third, he actively said that all genders would be held to a single inflexible standard.
Service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only.
Obviously, this is completely unacceptable. Under no circumstances should women be forced to compete against men in a physical contest or test. Unless, of course, the men they're competing against are transgender women, in which case it's fine. Also, even though women can do anything men can do, or better, it's obviously unfair to actually put this claim to the test with objective physical measurements that are only designed to reinforce the bigoted belief that men are somehow physically stronger, faster, and more agile than women. Women are physically superior to men, and we prove this best by refusing to prove it. Fourth, and perhaps most hurtful of all, he says that every single member of the military will be held to high physical standards of weight and height, and in such an unnecessarily mean way.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon.
Such body negativity and fat shaming must not stand. It's also overwhelmingly ableist for him to require everyone to engage in hard physical training every day. Such an unashamed display of discrimination and non-inclusiveness. And he even had the audacity to require traditional grooming standards for all military members.
No more beardos. The era of rampant and ridiculous shaving profiles is done.
But how can the free-thinking individuals who want to express their personal follicle styles possibly find self-expressive fulfillment on the battlefield if they can't wear the handlebar of merit, or the sideburns of valor, or the Fu Manchu of distinction, or the goatee of liberty, or the simple yet effective neckbeard of honor? It's as if lethality and lethality alone has become the only thing the chief of the military cares about. He even singled out the practice of promoting people based on them being the first of their gender or their race or their sexual orientation to positions of leadership, as if the purpose of leadership were competence and winning rather than symbolism and making people feel seen. You see, for decades, we have been eroding the essence of the military, using it primarily as a tool of social engineering to advance and disseminate our values, and now suddenly, Mr. Hegseth has ruined everything, telling the American people the preposterous notion that the purpose of the Peace Department is to discourage wars through strength and to win them through overwhelming competence in the art of violence. If someone wants to serve in the military, Mr. Sekpeeth, who are you to say they are ineligible or unentitled? It's not your place to practice such hurtful discrimination by putting these triggering restrictions on who you want pulling triggers for this nation. Don't you know it's the unalienable right of every bearded, transgender, plus-size, alternatively qualified person to serve without distinction in their military? And for taking away this basic civil right, we excommunicate thee, Pete Hegseth. Secretary of Peace? Maybe Secretary of Meanness is more like it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we want to take some time to sincerely praise the work of the Kraft Heinz Company for its decision to temporarily rebrand Maxwell House Coffee as Maxwell Apartments Coffee. Noting in its press release that one-third of Americans rent rather than owning a home, Kraft Heinz said it's trying to give Americans an option to save money in difficult economic times by offering them a chance to purchase a year's worth of coffee for just $40, what they're calling a 12-month coffee lease, designed to save purchasers more than $1,000 this year compared to buying coffee at retail establishments every day. Such savings may not be enough alone to buy a home, but it sure is a nice start. But of course, we applaud the rebrand itself for the obvious effort to be inclusive and stop perpetuating the highly stigmatizing language of domicile discrimination. At first, it seems so strange to say Maxwell Apartment, but that's just because our so-called American dream has actively promoted the wasteful extravagance of the single-family detached lifestyle for so long that the prejudice is embedded right in the name of our coffee beans. Maxwell Apartment reminds us that multifamily housing is every bit as decent, honest, and desirable as owning a house. In fact, the insulting bigotry of the home ownership prejudice is reinforced at every level of our language, and Maxwell Apartment has finally decided to stop being the Archie Bunker of brewed beverages. So we celebrate the recognition of domicile diversity, and we cherish the roasting out of the segregation and grinding away at the home builder industrial bias. However, we do have some suggestions for how this can be done even better going forward. Although Maxwell Apartment is a good first step toward equity and inclusion, it still carries the pungent aroma of judgment and discrimination, since so many people live neither in houses nor in apartments, and what of their need to feel smelled? Why not rebrand as Maxwell Duplex? Are duplex owners not coffee drinkers too? What about Maxwell Condominium? Should only those who rent multifamily housing count? Perhaps they should rebrand as Maxwell Mobile Homes, or more poignantly, Maxwell Trailer Park, expanding inclusivity to both mobile homes and sedentary RVs. But why should traditional studs and drywall construction be so preferenced? Are the residents of Maxwell Tent City not coffee drinkers too? Is there some reason the inhabitants of Maxwell Shanty can't enjoy some hot coffee as an early morning pick-me-up? Should the collectivist feel left out, or should Maxwell Commune not also be an available variety, although probably not for sale, obviously? Although Maxwell Homeless or Maxwell Alternately Housed may be a little clunky to say, perhaps the best revision would be a complete reversal of the 133 years of linguistic bigotry of the current brand, simply going with Maxwell Unhoused, to include everyone not already included in one of the other labels. Should the car dweller, the shelter dweller, the street sleeper, or the forest denizen not also feel they are welcome to enjoy a cup of mediocre coffee like everyone else? Here's an idea. If they really wanted to do something special, the cans could come with a customizable label set so that each purchaser could express their personal residency status with the same sort of bland flavor Maxwell House Coffee has always been known for. And when all the varieties have been tried, perhaps the best end state would be something non-committal and unifying, such as Maxwell Dwelling, or Maxwell Habitat, or perhaps Maxwell Abode. So yes, we applaud this first step Maxwell Apartment, but we see many more renovations to come for you. And while we're on the subject, perhaps other coffee brands could take a note from Kraft Heinz. Surely Starbucks is a little dollar-centric. Perhaps Star Pesos in Mexico, or Star Euros in Germany, or Star Rupees in India, or just a more generic Star Money or Star Currency for more universal appeal. Perhaps also Nescafe, which suddenly seems very marginalizing to people who operate alternate restaurant styles. So Nes Food Truck, Nes Diner, Nes Banquet Hall, Nes Farmer's Market, and yes, Nes Soup Kitchen would really increase the diversity of this brand's appeal. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.